appreciate that. Just remain standing, if you will, and turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Amen. Well, that song went right along with what I was talking about. Not trusting in your own arms, but His arms. Amen. And matter of fact, our government needs to learn that. Our nation needs to learn that. He told Israel, don't you trust in horses. Egypt's horses might be the best horses in the land, but they're not good enough to protect you. You need the protecting hand of God. Amen. And that's where our protection comes from. It does come from the Lord. But I appreciate that song. We can lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. And we don't have to worry, dread, and fear. We can trust Him. And so glad that we can. Amen. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, very familiar text. Verse number 9 is where I'm going to pick up reading. Read down through the chapter. Bring you just a short message, I believe, tonight that I hope will be a help to you. And bring glory and honor to the Lord. Be a strengthening the things that remain and strengthening those things that God has given us. Verse number 9, the Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Stop just a minute. Not everybody that dies goes to heaven. Some people say, well, they're in a better place. They may not be. Well, they've done their suffering on earth, their suffering's through now. It may not be. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Now he's going to list some. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But, thank God. I'm glad God butted in. Amen. Somebody said that. I believe that's right. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. You say amen right there. Amen. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that which is joined to an harlot, that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now look at verses 19 and 20. These will be my text verses. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'll read those last two verses again. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Kuhn, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, I want to thank you for
being in your
house. Yes. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless the preacher.
Help, Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, help there, Lord, I pray.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. This scripture that I read to you deals with the contrast of the life of the lost with that the life of the saved. Those that have been saved and regenerated have been made new creatures. He said, such were some of you. You used to be that old man. You used to run the old way, but you're not that anymore. So he shows the contrast in the life of the lost compared to the life of the saved. And I'm afraid that too many people forget that we have been made new creatures, that salvation changes us, amen, into a new creature in Christ Jesus. By the way, that's not just a pretty Bible verse. That's a reality. That is a fact. If you've never been made a new creature, matter of fact, Brother Ballou, one day this week on his broadcast, he read 2 Corinthians 5:17. He made the statement. He said, whenever I read that verse, I believe it's on Monday, he said, whenever I read that verse, I always want to say, so what's new about you? I heard him preach a message with that title one time. So what's new about you? We are made a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're not to live, quote unquote, the same old way. We're to be changed, and our life needs to be different since we've come to know Christ. So I want to preach on this thought. I've titled my message, Under New Management. Amen. Under New Management. You've seen that. A business will get a new... It's interesting to me that when a new management team takes over, first thing, they send out all these... Now, we're not going to change anything. And then number two, this is what we're changing. Amen. And a change, when under new management, there's always a change. Amen. When I came as pastor 5 years ago, I did my best to come in, and there wasn't a lot of things I needed to change. But I'm different than Brother Hall is. And when there is new management, there's always a change. You can't help it. Well, when Jesus moves it, by the way, when the devil's kicked out and Jesus moves in, don't you think there'd be a change? And that person would be obviously under new management. Paul is asking this question. I do believe it's a rhetorical question. But he asked the question nonetheless, know ye not, know ye not, know ye not. And then verse number 19, what? Incredulously, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Amen. He's saying to Corinthians that lived in a heathenistic culture, they had lived heathenistically themselves. But he said, don't you know that the Holy Ghost is living in you? You've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And it's as if he's asking, so why are you going back to the old ways? He says, you're not your own. He says in verse number 24, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, amen, and in your spirit, which are God's. One black preacher said it this way. He said, salvation was imported for me. Salvation was imported. In other words, it didn't come from here. It came from another country. Amen. Amen. Salvation was imported for him. Then he said, salvation was imputed to him. Amen. It didn't come from inside him. It was given to him. Then he said, salvation is not only imported and imparted, imputed. He said, salvation was imparted. It was given to him. Then he said, and then salvation was imprinted. Amen. In him. Amen. Salvation is, listen, you're saved. That's what salvation is. You're saved. It's not just a word that you tack on. It's not just a slogan that you wear on your shirt. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. You become part of the family of God. He became what he was, saved by the grace of God. There, it became his part to live it out, to show it out in his day-to-day life. That's our job as well. Amen. So I want to look at this text tonight, if I can. Deal primarily with these last two verses. And I read the length of the passage to give you the context. You can see, and there's a lot of things I could say and make the message much longer, but I won't. But it is obvious to me that the Apostle Paul is dealing with people who have in the past been used to living a heathenistic lifestyle. They got comfortable in that lifestyle. That was just what they knew. They were surrounded by heathens. They were in a heathenistic culture. Amen. And Paul's reminding them, you've been bought with a price. You've been made new creatures in Christ. You've been indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. You ought not be living like heathens live. Amen. And so this text, or these verses that I'm going to use for my text, have three primary thoughts that I want to deal with tonight. Three main thoughts. Number one, there is a claim to be pondered. In verse number 19, that latter phrase, he says, ye are not your own. Amen. You ought to think about that. What's my life? I'll live it like I want to. No, not once you gave your life to Jesus. Amen. You hear that all the time. People say, well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, once you gave your life to Jesus, you're not your own. He has a right to tell you what to do. Amen. Where to go. That's exactly right. And this thought about the claim to be pondered. The believer is not his own any longer. Now, when you was doing what you wanted to do, truth is, you was doing what the devil wanted you to do. You still wasn't your own even then. You were property of the devil. Amen. That's why it's one of these, it's really a trick of the devil. When they have this, they say, well, you sell your soul to the devil, you sign the contract, you make it, you know, we've heard that, make it rich on in the record producing or whatever the case is, movie star, whatever. They sold their soul to the devil. Well, they already belong to the devil. The devil's just tricked them into believing that they're locked in some way more. They are already condemned according to the Bible. And the devil's signature on a contract don't mean anything. The devil's a liar and the father of it. Amen. He's been a liar since the beginning. Jesus can buy you out of that contract, is what I'm saying. But the truth is, you didn't belong to yourself even then. But you don't belong to yourself now. You have been bought and paid for. The believer belongs to Jesus. Amen. I've touched on this several times lately, and I really don't know all of why I've been dealing with it, but I think that it is needful for me to deal with it. That is that when a person comes to know Christ as their Savior, when a person is genuinely saved, they have not just added Jesus to their life. Amen. They have surrendered their life to Him. Amen. Amen. It's not just, well, I'll add Jesus to my list of gods. I'll add Jesus to my list of good things. Oh, no, it's not that. And by the way, there's a lot of heathens that do that. Amen. A lot of idol worshipers that just add Jesus to their list of gods. Just another one to pray to. Amen. I heard on the radio yesterday coming in, we was listening, I was waiting until we could get where we pick up WSOF, and we was listening to this, and it's talking about computers. And they have come out with a new app that you can get for your computer that prays the rosary for you. The Catholic Church is selling that app, by the way. They also have an app that's called a Go J. It's a Go J. And it's based on the Go Pokemon idea. And you can go around the world capturing saints on your computer. Capturing saints and getting credit for it. Well, that's as stupid can be. But you know what? People are religious and they buy into it. You'd be surprised how many people will pay money for that kind of stuff. And they're just adding Jesus to their list of gods. Adding Jesus to their list of good deeds. But when a person comes to Christ, he is not just adding Jesus to your life. He's not just making Jesus a part of your life. You are giving your life to Him. Amen. You are surrendering your life to Jesus. Allowing Jesus to live through you. We know verses about that, and we'll get to some of those in a minute. A repentant sinner has turned from that old life of sin. I touched on it this morning. He's turned from that old life of sin. He hates what he had become. All those things that we read, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, boasters, or thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, no, not one good quality in any of them. It's all bad stuff. We hated that we had become that. But thank God, by the grace of God, such were, past tense, done away with now. Were some of you, but you've been washed, but you've been justified, but you've been sanctified, you've been changed by the Lord Jesus. Amen. That person that comes to Christ, a repentant sinner, no longer views sin as glamorous. He sees sin as gory as it is. He doesn't view sin as freedom. He recognizes it as bondage. Amen. He doesn't view sin as advantageous or exciting, but he recognizes that it is condemning, it is damning, and he's sorry that he ever had anything to do with it. Amen. They've been made a new creature. Jesus has the right to lead us on a different path. Jesus has the right to lead us on the right path. Amen. That new path that he lays out for us. I'd say it's the old paths that the Bible talks about that he wants us to walk. Amen. Now, there's four aspects I want to say about that under this point. And I won't be long with these. My next two, I don't have subpoints. So bear with me. First of all, I say there's a claim to be pondered. Number one, on the grounds of purchase rights. He said we have been bought. Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Amen. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. God paid a high price for us. Amen. He didn't get quality when he got us. He got trash. He got worthless, but he paid a high price to get us. Amen. We're redeemed by his blood. You know this text, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for as much as ye know, ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. With the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, since he paid for us, he has the right to lead us on a different path. He has the right to lay claim to us on the grounds of the purchase rights. Number two, on the grounds of possession rights. God dwells in us. Amen. Verse number 19. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost lives in you. Amen. You see that? What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Amen. The Holy Ghost lives in us. You've probably heard the old saying, possession is 9/10 of the law. You ever heard that? Amen. They've got it. They say possession. If you've got it, possession is 9/10 of the law. Well, God got you when he reached down to save you. He has possession of you. Therefore, he has rights to you. Amen. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ living in you, that's the only hope you have of heaven. That is your hope of glory. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. Since he lives in me, he possesses me. When somebody has a devil living in them, we say they are possessed. Amen. You ever heard, I've heard it said before, that that man is just possessed with love for his wife. That man is just possessed with his job. That man is just possessed with his new vehicle. Amen. What does that mean? It means he's all wrapped up in it. That's what he lives for. That's his life. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ possesses us. He owns us. He lives in us. Amen. So he has the right to lay claim to us because of the purchase rights and because of the possession rights. Then number three, on the grounds of personal responsibility or obligation, we might say. Since Jesus bought me, since Jesus lives within me, I owe him a great debt. Jesus paid it all. What comes naturally next is all to him I owe. Amen. Amen. how rebellious would it be for me to break my vows of living for Him and to live my life, to take my life back into my own hands after He has purchased me off the slave block of sin. Amen. You remember the story of Hosea in the Old Testament? God told Hosea to marry a wife of whoredoms. Now that's pretty hard. That's pretty tough. But Isaiah went and found her and bought her off the auction block of sin, out the auction block of whoredoms. You know what Gomer did? I don't know if I'd ever, I could never marry a woman named Gomer. Glad God asked Hosea to do that, not me. Amen. But anyway, Hosea went and bought Gomer, brought her home, made her his wife, had children by her, and then she went right back to her old way of living. God knew she was going to do it, and the reason He had Hosea marry her was to show Israel a parabolic statement of His life, how God did Israel. God bought them from the slave market of sin. And then Israel went on and went right back to their idols, went back to their harlotry. By the way, that idolatry and adultery are considered the same thing, spiritually speaking. They're the same thing. And God said, Hosea, here's what I want you to do. You know what happened to Gomer? Gomer wound back down on the auction block again, and Hosea went down there and bought her back. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you think about this, how awful it would be for her to spit in his face and go back to that old way of living. But much more awful is for us to look at our Savior after all He's done for us, and us to say, Lord, I'd rather live it up with my old friends. I'd rather live it up in my rebellion. I'd rather go back to that old way of living than to live like You want me to. I'm telling you, we have a personal obligation, a personal responsibility to Him since He bought us with a price. He loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what Paul said there in Galatians 2:20. Amen. Then He has a right to lay claim to us on the grounds of practical results. Here's what I say about that. With the Holy Ghost indwelling me and you, if you're saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost guiding us, you don't think that, I'm just talking practical now, you don't think that the Holy Ghost leads you to the bar, do you? The honky-tonks. You don't think the Holy Ghost leads you to watch porn, do you? Huh? You don't think that. Surely you don't think the Holy Ghost leads you to drink beer, or by the way, or even just to miss church. You don't think the Holy Ghost leads you that way, do you? No. Practical response would be for us to stay out of the beer joints, stay out of the porno places, amen, and stay in the house of God. Amen. Faithful to the things of God. The Holy Ghost leads us away from sin. The Holy Ghost leads us away from questionable places and questionable activities. And He leads us to the Bible. He leads us to prayer. He leads us to singing. He leads us to fellowship with the saints at the house of God. Amen. That's practical results. The Holy Ghost. What? Paul said, know ye not. And there used to be a woman at Vision. She's passed away now. She used to say, surely you got better sense than that. She'd say that. Listen, remember right who I'm talking about. Surely you've got better sense. That's what Paul said. What? You're not that dumb, are you? That's what he said. What? Know you not? You're not your own. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's the point that he's making. Amen. So, if your old friends or your family says, why are you living differently than the way you used to live? You can truthfully say, I am under new management. Amen. I've been bought with a price. Amen. So there's a claim to be pondered. Number two, there's a change to be pressed. Look at verse 20, the first part. He says, for ye are bought with a price. That speaks of a transaction that has been made. Jesus bought me. I became His. Amen. Brother Kuhn, Mrs. Kuhn talked about, just recently bought that different car, and now it's theirs. If they want to sell it and keep the other, they have that. Or if they want to sell the other and keep it, they have the right to do what they want to. Shortly after they bought it, they headed down to Greenville, South Carolina with that car. You know, that car didn't have any right to to rebel against that. That car didn't have any right to buck and fuss and complain about that. It had been bought with a price. Amen. It belonged to them. They could take it where they want to. Amen. And there's a change here. We've been bought with a price. So we've been paid for. We became His. We were once captives to sin. But now we've become set free. And we're the purchased property of Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 32, our Lord said this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Amen. Free from what? Free from that bondage of sin. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Again, free from what? Free from that bondage of sin. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Amen. He said, you've been set free from sin. Does that mean you'll never sin? That doesn't mean you're sinless. But it means you're set free from it. You're no longer in bondage to it. He has made you free. Amen. You don't belong in sin. If you get in it, you don't belong there. Amen. You don't belong there. You belong in freedom. You belong in Him. Amen. So since Jesus bought us from the slave block of sin, no longer a slave to sin, now a child of God, and I'm now a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, then number three, my last point. Not only there's a claim to be pondered and there's a, what was that one there? There's a change to be pressed, but there's a course to be pursued. Since you've been bought with a price, he says in verse number 20, "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I'll say this. This is not in my notes, but I don't think you're glorifying God with your body when you pierce your body, when you mark up your body. Amen. Or when you slither your body into a pair of skinny jeans. Amen. Somebody said this week. I don't remember now who it was. I heard say it. They said, all this talk, the way they got now, you got all this LGBT. T, you know what the T stands for? It stands for transgender. Well, I'm trans-slender. Yeah. Don't say I'm fat. I'm not. In my mind, I'm a skinny feller. Amen. That's how I identify. Amen. Well, it'd be easier to change your weight than it is to change your sex. Amen. Well, let me get off of that. But you're not glorifying God when you put on these skin tight. What is these things? These yoga breeches that they're walking around in now? Amen. Looks like pantyhose. It does. And people in church now wearing that with just a long shirt over it. I'm talking about women now. Amen. You're not glorifying God when you do that. You're not. Amen. Men, you're not glorifying God when you let your hair grow out. Amen. Paint your fingernails. I saw a man with his fingernails painted black Saturday. A man, I think he was. Had them grommets in his ears. Long hair. Did he have a man bun, I think, or maybe a ponytail? You're not glorifying God when you do that. You say, "Preacher, you're making fun." And I am, in a sense. What? No, you're not that dumb, is what Paul would say. Amen. You're not glorifying God when you do that. You're not. You're looking like Hollywood. You're looking like maybe your favorite ball team or ball player or whatever it is that's in that. Listen, you don't need to do that. You need to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, because you belong to Him now. That's what he's saying. There's a course to be pursued. Since we have been purchased by Christ, we have a new life. And we live that life with new loyalties. Amen. We're now loyal to a thrice holy God. Amen. Amen. We're not to live our life unto ourselves. We're not to live unto the world. We're to live unto the glory of God. Amen. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. That's what your goal is supposed to be set on, seeking the kingdom of God. Colossians 3:1-3. You know this. He says in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above." You set your watch. You set your alarm. Amen. You set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Amen. If Christ is in you, you ought to be going in a different route than the way the world's going. A different course that you're pursuing. Amen. Ephesians 2:10. You know this verse very well as well. Verse 8, not by works of right. No. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." By the way, when you got in Christ Jesus, God made you for something new. Amen. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Amen. There's a course God's laid out. He is predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what the Bible says. Amen. God wants Christians to yield themselves to His Holy Spirit, to allow Him to direct our lives. Amen. He wants us to live holy and righteous lives. Amen. He wants us to testify to the world with our lips and with our life. Amen. That we're not just telling them one thing on Sunday and doing different Monday through Saturday. Amen. He wants us to prove it with a godly lifestyle. Amen. How's that done? That's done, I go back, it's done through prayer. It's done through Bible reading. Amen. It's done through growing in grace by attending the house of God faithfully. All those things. Amen. Now, I think about this and I'm about done. Christ, God may allow us to suffer in this life. We may suffer in this life. But if we suffer, we ought to suffer as a Christian. Peter talked about that. You know the word Christian is only in your Bible 3 times? It's only in there 3 times. And the last time is 1 Peter 4:16. He said, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." If you have to suffer, suffer as a Christian. And that glorifies God. Amen. Don't curse because you slam your thumb in the car door. Amen. Because somebody cuts you off in traffic, don't flip up a finger. Amen. Don't live like the world. I don't think you ought to lose your temper and fly off the handle at them. If you do, something wrong. Amen. If you have to suffer, suffer as a Christian and thereby glorify God on this behalf. Amen. God wants us to yield ourselves to Him no matter what. However, whatever way He wants to take us, He wants us to yield ourselves to that path. Let's stand to our feet. As I close tonight, I'll say this. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as they come with a song. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you living for Him? You owe Him a great debt. He paid a great price. Are you honoring the Lord with the decisions that you make in life? Are you honoring the Lord with your dress standards? Are you honoring the Lord with the desires of your heart? Are you honoring the Lord with the attitude that you possess? Is your life glorifying God? You've been bought with a price. What? No, you're not. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God, the opportunity to preach it. I know it's, as they say, just, it's old hat. We know this. Lord, thank You for reminding us again and help us that we won't get entangled with this world, but we'd set our sights on things above, set our affection on things above. And Lord, we'd aim for something higher than this world to bring You glory and to bring you honor. We'll thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing, and as we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. I want to give you opportunity to come call on the Lord. Are you living for Jesus? Amen.